being inspired of the Holy Ghost to lay the foundation thereof and to build it up into a most holy faith, which church was organized and established in the year of your Lord 1830, in the fourth month, and on the sixth day of the month, which is called April. It was on this day that Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery and members of the Smith and Whitmer family met in the home of Peter Whitmer Sr. in Fayette, Seneca County, New York. And after appropriate song and prayers, the revelations concerning the organization of the church were read to the assembled people. These revelations set forth the order of the priesthood and the duties of the officers of the church. Following this pattern, the church organization of today has been built. According to previous commandments, the prophet Joseph Smith called upon the brethren present to know if they would accept himself and Oliver Cowdery as teachers in the things of the kingdom of God, and if they were willing that they should proceed to organize the church according to the commandments of the Lord. To this, they consented by unanimous vote. And thus we have the pattern established from the very beginning. And all things shall be done by common consent in the church, by much prayer and faith, for all things shall be received by faith. I feel a special surge going through my whole being as I see hands raised to the square to sustain the leadership of the church. Today, two new members of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles were sustained by the members of the church here at the Conference Center and by television, internet, and satellite in almost all corners of the earth. Elder Uchtdorf, I have another German to join me now. Elder Bednar, now we have two wives from Wyoming. You have been called to sustain and fill the vacancies created by the death of Elders David B. Haight and Elder Neil A. Maxwell as members of the Quorum of 12 Apostles. I welcome you with open arms as you become part of this sacred calling which is ours. Of course, today we miss the association with Elder Haight and Elder Maxwell. Elder Haight has been seated by my side in these conferences for the past 28 years. Elder Maxwell, next to him for almost as many years. How I wish I had the enthusiastic spirit of Elder Haight, or the word power of Elder Maxwell, to express my feelings about this long association I have experienced with these two great brethren. They've added so much to my life. How I miss their continued association. We have a rich tradition of the work of the 12 as we have traveled throughout the world proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. For example, it was on Sunday, the 4th of June, 1837, the prophet Joseph Smith approached Heber C. Kimball in the Kirtland Temple and whispered to him, saying, "Brother Heber, the Spirit of the Lord has whispered to me, let my servant Heber go to England and proclaim my gospel and open the door of salvation to that nation." The account of Heber C. Kimball and Brigham Young leaving their homes for England certainly shows the sacrifice of their willingness to make for their callings. The account reads as follows. The account of Heber C. Kimball and Brigham Young leaving their homes for England certainly shows the sacrifice they were willing to make for the callings they received. The account reads, September 14th, 1839, President Brigham Young left his home in Montrose and started on his mission to England. He was so sick that he was unable to go to the Mississippi River, a distance of 30 rods, without assistance. After he'd crossed the river, he rode behind Isaac Barlow on his horse to my house, where he continued sick until the 18th. He left his wife sick with a babe only 3 weeks old, and all his other children were sick and unable to wait upon each other. Not one soul of them was able to go to the well for a pail of water. And they were without a second suit on their backs, for the mob in Missouri had taken nearly all they had. On the 17th, Sister Mary Ann Young got a boy to bring her up in his wagon to my house that she might nurse and comfort Brigham Young. Heber C. Kimball's family were also ill. Charles Hubbard sent a boy with a team and a wagon to help them on their way. Elder Kimball records, "It appeared to me as though my very innermost parts would melt within me at leaving my family in such a condition, as they were almost in the arms of death. I felt as though I could not endure it. I asked the teamster to stop and said to Brother Brigham, 'This is pretty tough, isn't it? Let us rise up and give them a cheer.' We arose and, swinging our hats three times over our head, shouted, 'Hurrah! Hurrah for Israel!' Sister Young and Sister Kimball came to the door and waved a farewell, which gave Brother Brigham and Brother Heber much comfort as they continued without purse or scrip towards England. The Bible dictionary states that an apostle means one sent forth. The calling of apostle is to be a special witness in the name of Jesus Christ in all the world, particularly of his divinity, of his bodily resurrection from the dead. 12 men with this high calling constitute the administrative council in the work of the ministry. Today, 12 men with this same divine calling are ordained and constitute the quorum of the 12 apostles of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. An apostle today continues to be one sent forth. The conditions we face are different from those of the early brethren as we make our journey to fulfill our assignment. The matter of travel to all corners of the earth is very different from that of the early brethren. However, our assignment remains the same as that which was given by the Savior, as he instructed his called 12 to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." For you two new brethren, I can promise you that there will be a new understanding of what it means to belong to a quorum. I wish the feeling and respect we have for our council could be transported to every quorum in the church. Would you deacons, teachers, priests, elders, and high priest quorums, listen for a minute to what I believe is one of the greatest blessings we can receive from being a bearer of the priesthood. That special blessing is belonging to a priesthood quorum. President Stephen L. Richards, many years ago, gave us some wonderful counsel on church government. He stated as follows, "The genius of our church government is government through councils. I see wisdom, God's wisdom, in creating councils to govern his kingdom. In the spirit under which we labor, men can get together with seemingly divergent views and with far different backgrounds. And under the operation of the Spirit, by counseling together, they can arrive at accord. I have no hesitancy in giving you the assurance, if you will confer in council, as you're expected to do, God will give you solutions to all the problems that confront you." And what are these great benefits you will experience by belonging to a quorum? Again, Stephen L. Richards said, "A quorum is three things. First, a class. Second, a fraternity. And third, a service unit. I see the genius of this so manifestly apparent in the function as the quorum of the 12. We are a class as we study the doctrines of the kingdom together. Can you imagine what a special experience it would be to be in a quorum meeting and be taught the gospel doctrine by elders Ezra Taft Benson, Mark E. Peterson, LeGrand Richards, Howard W. Hunter, Bruce R. McConkie, David B. Haight, or Neil A. Maxwell? You will notice that I've only used those brethren who have completed their earthly ministry in order not to be selective among our current apostles. this same blessing can be yours in your quorum. The words of the apostles, past and present, live in the scriptures, conference addresses, church magazines, devotions, and so forth. They are available to bring the power of the doctrine of the kingdom into your quorum class. Make of your quorum a class to increase your knowledge of the gospel of our Lord and Savior. In our quorum, we have a special brotherhood. There we lift and inspire and bless each other with the spirit of our calling. When one is burdened, there are 11 others anxious to help lift and share that burden. At times we rejoice together in the feeling of accomplishment. We weep together in times of sorrow. We never feel as we face a problem alone. There is always counsel, support, and help, and encouragement of our quorum members. From the book Priesthood and Church Government, we have a statement of brotherhood that should exist in every priesthood quorum. The priesthood is the great brotherhood, held together by an eternal, immutable laws that constitute the framework of the gospel. A feeling of brotherhood should permeate the quorum. It should be the first concern of quorums to help all members who may be in need temporally, mentally, or spiritually. The spirit of brotherhood should be a directing force in all the plans and operations of the quorum. If this spirit be cultivated wisely and persistently, no other organization will become more attractive to a man who holds the priesthood. We would encourage each priesthood quorum in the church to cultivate such a brotherhood. Finally, the only purpose for our quorum is that to be of service. Perhaps our deep feelings of responsibility could be characterized in an epistle dated in October 26, 1886 by Wilford Woodruff, who was then serving as president of the Council of the 12 Apostles. I will say to the apostles, our responsibility is very great. What manner of men ought we to be? The whole world is ripening in iniquity, and the Zion of God should be prepared for the coming of the bridegroom. We should humble ourselves before the Lord and be in position to be filled with the spirit of our calling, with the Holy Ghost, with the revelations of Jesus Christ, that we may know the mind and will of God concerning us, and be prepared to magnify our callings and bring to pass righteousness, and be valiant in the testimony of Jesus Christ to the end. There never was a time when the work of God required more faithful testimony and labor from the apostles and elders today. Make of each of your quorums a great service organization for the benefit of all your quorum members. Now, this word of warning from the scriptures: wherefore, now let every man learn his duty, and to act in the office to which he's been appointed, in all diligence. He that is slothful shall not be counted worthy to stand, and he that learns not his duty and shows not himself approved shall not be counted worthy to stand. And so I say to you, two brethren, who have just joined us, and to all of our quorum, and to all of the brethren who belong to the priesthood of God, may God bless each of us in our calls to serve. May our faith strengthen as we serve in righteousness, faithfully keeping the commandments. May our testimonies ever grow stronger as we seek to find the fountain of eternal truth. May the brotherhood that exists in our quorum be a comfort and strength and security as we pass through this mortal part of our existence. May the joy of gospel service ever abide in our hearts as we go forward to fulfill our duties and responsibilities as servants in our Father in heaven's kingdom, is my humble prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.